My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
Wrestling Omakase is back, baby. The weekly podcast that takes you across all the top promotions on the entire Japanese wrestling scene. From New Japan to Stardom, NOAH, DDT, All Japan, Marie Gold, Dragon Gate, Tokyo Joshi, Sendai Girls, and a whole lot more. I'm John Carroll, a fan of Japanese wrestling for over 20 years, and every week I'm joined by a rotating cast of guest co-hosts as we break down all the top promotions in Japan, men's and women's. Check out Wrestling Omakase right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 86 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X and Blue Sky at Emerald Flow Show. Leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts if you can. And you can also donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate if you're feeling generous. I'm Gerard, back with Paul. And Paul, it has been a chaotic couple of weeks since we last recorded.
Yeah, a lot has happened. Like some fortunate, some rather unfortunate things as well.
Well, let's get the unfortunate news out of the way first. Two notable injuries, particularly Daisuke Sekimoto on a Big Japan show in a sparsely, shall we say, attended court and hall show for Big Japan. Took a tornado DDT and couldn't get up. And it just sounds like that. What is it? Like a disc in his neck has been aggravated.
He got a concussion, and then like there was some neck things as well. But it doesn't seem like anything's broken, at least.
So I mean, they told us pretty quickly he was able to move his limbs.
Yeah,
and everything like that, because I think that was the biggest fear among most people, and probably also because of how big his neck is, protected him.
Yeah, this might legitimately be like a case like. Who was it again? Like Big E, I think, was kind of, but to be fair, that one was like way more serious, like the Big E one and then the Tyson Kidd one.
Yeah, but like, those are both ones where it's like your muscle mass saved your life.
Like it should have, like, for all intents and purposes, you should have broken your neck here, and the only reason you didn't was because you had so many muscles in your neck and they were so well trained that they literally kept like your spine together.
So, I mean, he might be back as soon as July.
I mean,
that's what that they does seem said.
And it's not like, I the one thing I'm scared of is that he's rushing back too quickly, because obviously Big Japan can't really go on without him, right?
No.
So I really hope that it's actually like that he will actually be like able to come back by then, and it's not him rushing back to like save Big Japan essentially.
Yeah, that's not a wise idea. Don't be Misawa.
Yeah, that exactly. Like I don't like this already got really scary. I don't need like an actual death in the ring. Like
yeah,
please no.
And Dragon Bane suffered a concussion. That's what it's being reported as. I think there was a couple of things that people said it might be, but that was on a Dragon Gate show that he was on.
Yeah, so that was a Dragon Gate Korakuen show. I don't remember who was wrestling. I think Flamita was in the match as well. I don't remember who.
Yeah, it was. She took a Tiger Driver from Flamita.
Yeah, and yeah, so anyway. He also had to be stretchered out, but he said on social media that he suffered a severe concussion, but he will be back in a couple of weeks.
So, yeah, a little scary. Both mm-hmm. injuries coming, you know, so close together, but I'm less worried about Dragon Bane.
Yeah, I mean, weird concussion is still like that's not great, but you know, that's definitely like less concerning than like a potential massive neck injury.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. So we're gonna move on. And Paul, so what are the chances of you thinking that R-Truth is gonna be in the Real World Tag League? No, I'm joking. We're not gonna go over that.
Okay, thank God.
No, we're going to talk about some wrestlers that are much younger. We're just going to touch on the Voices of Wrestling 30 under 30, because Paul and I were both on the panel that voted. Mm-hmm. And as of this recording, I think about an hour ago, maybe a little less, the 15-1 list went up. So all 30 are out there. And Paul, what are your first impressions of the list? Because I have a couple of thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I like the list overall. I think the number one is well deserved this year. So like Gabe Kidd is the one that ended up like at number one. I think yeah. That's a really good mixture of like stuff he's already showing this year, as well as like the potential that is there for him to like basically become like the biggest foreign star in Japan, and then probably very quickly thereafter becoming a big star in AEW as well. I also like the mixture of like people on there. Like I'm really happy that like some, for example, like a Mad Dog Connolly made it onto the list. So like I really like the list this year, because I think it's just a really nice like mixture, and I think it really represents like the entire world of wrestling, really.
Yes, I'm sure that certain people will yell that there is not much WWE representation on the list.
Good.
But actually, did anyone?
Braun Breaker was, I think, like two votes behind Matt Connolly.
That's funny. I'll give my 30 list in a second, actually. But Paul, I was a little shocked that somehow Yuma Aoyagi managed to slide into the top 30, because spoiler alert,
yes,
I didn't vote for him. I did.
Oh, really?
Yuma Aoyagi. Yeah. I was like, I can't defend this.
I did, but I literally like the only reason I voted for him, because I'm like, he's still really talented, and B, it's his last year of eligibility, and I was like, it feels weird to not vote for him when he's not going to be eligible anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
I think I was actually the high voter on him, if I correctly.
I think Fred Moreland might have also, but you know, like I don't know, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. But I don't have any other particular shocks. I mean, Yuma Anzai was the only other All Japan representation on this fifth.
Yep.
But I'll talk about the other All Japan wrestlers that I voted for. But so quickly, I'm going to go from 30-1 on my real list quickly. And so this is starting at 30. So Daiki Odeshima, mm-hmm. 29, Mika Iwata, 28, Cannon, which I inserted at the last minute. 27, Sayaka Karura, 26, Suzu Suzuki, 25, Sari Yamaoka, 24, Ryohei Oiwa, 23, Mirai, 22, Ryuki Honda, 21, Owada-san, 20, Miyu Watanabe, 19, Drilla Maloney, 18, I actually voted for someone from WWE, it was Oba Femi, 17, Rising Hayato, maybe I should have actually had him a little higher now that I think about it, 16, Mao, 15, Kaito Kiyomiya, 14, Kevin Knight, 13, Utami Hayashishida, 12, Yuki Ueno. 11, Luke Jacobs. 10, Saya Kamatani. 9, Starlight Kid. 8, Callum Newman. 7, Kosei Fujita. Number 6, Leon Slater, who didn't even make the top 30, and I was really shocked about that. Number 5, Kyle Fletcher. Number 4, Gabe Kidd. Number 3, Sari. Number 2, Yuma Anzai. And number 1, Ozawa.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't really have any major disagreements with the list there. I'm just kind of quickly going to go over my own list. So I had as number 30, Crowchester, 29, Oscar Loibe, 28, Leon Slater. Same, I was also shocked he didn't make the list. 27, Mike DiVecchio, 26, Owada-san, 25, Rising Hayato, 24, Zozaya, who unfortunately will also retire this year. 23, Dragon Bane, 22, Alpha Wolf, 21, Utami Hayashishita, number 20, Ryuki Honda, 19, Adam Priest, 18, Mad Dog Connolly, 17, Luke Jacobs, 16, Kosei Fujita, 15, Mao, 14, Mascara Dorada, 13, Ryohei Uiwa, 12, Atlantis Jr., 11, Azumi, 10, Mochizuki Jr., 9, Yuma Aoyagi, which I was the high voter on, I actually checked that, 8, Suri, 7, Kaito Kiyomiya, 6, Kyle Fletcher, 5th, Shun Skywalker, 4th, Gabe Kidd, 3rd, Saya Kamatani, 2nd, Yuma Anzai, and then number 1, same as you, Ozawa.
There you go. And Ozawa did finish 4th.
Yeah.
Kaito Kiyomiya 9th, maybe a couple spots too high.
Yeah, I was actually, I mean, I voted for him like pretty highly, but I did not expect him to finish that highly on the list, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, 4th is the highest vote he actually got. Like 4th is the, like, but I think he just ended up on a lot of ballots and that made like caused him to like be on the list.
Yeah.
Because he got like no votes for 1st, 2nd, or 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's high profile enough that he'll just get in. And same thing with Yuma Aoyagi, right?
Yeah.
I think he's just on a lot of ballots.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a Gabe one as well. Like Gabe just got onto like a boatload of ballots as well.
So yeah, that's the list. You can check it out at voiceofwrestling.com. And you can argue about it on social media if you want.
Yeah. I'm actually wondering because Ozawa got 3 first place votes. Like obviously we're 2 of those. I wonder who the 3rd person was that voted Ozawa number 1.
I'll ask around and find that out. That's funny. Look, I said in my little blurb, I didn't have time to blurb out all 30 of my choices.
I wrote no blurbs at all.
So I wrote, I'm going to go to the Ozawa, bring up a very important point. Okay, despite the fact that Team 2000X has already jumped the shark like every other interfering heel faction in Japan, Ozawa's individual performances have been nothing short of incredible. There is no one else on this list that is as individually responsible for turning around the business fortunes of their promotion like Ozawa has.
Yeah, I mean, really that is with true. That
last point, there's no one else that's done that kind of business on this list.
No.
I mean, there's like the CMLL guys that, but that's not like down to necessarily one individual, or if it is, it's Mythico.
Yeah, exactly. Like that, they're not responsible for that. Where he, like, there's literally, you can point to like attendance pre Ozawa winning the title, and you can point to attendance post Ozawa winning the title, and they look completely different. Which maybe in hindsight should have caused me to maybe put Kaito a little lower than I actually did, because the champion prior to Ozawa winning was Kaito. So.
Yeah, and the only other person that has done some big draws is Saya Kamatani, but that's also got Tam Nakano at the other end of that. Whereas it's all Ozawa.
Yeah, it's all Ozawa in this case. And I mean, to be fair, I did kind of like that, like the business that Stardom does is one of the reasons why I put Saya Kamatani 3rd. But it was like yes, there's a lot like the Bushiroad machine and like the feud with Tam Nakano that, you know, factors into that, but like I think you also still like you can still put a lot of that on her as well, and just like how much like buzz she gets in general. So like I kind of see like her and Ozawa kind of like in a very like similar vein, and not just because like their gimmicks and looks are kind of the same too, but you know, like I think they're like there's definitely like you definitely have to give her credit for the business that Stardom is doing, because I don't like they would still have good attendances, but not to that level that they're doing right now with her on top.
Yeah. And then So just other wrestlers real quick that we cover that made the list. I mean, Alpha Wolf and Dragon Bane, obviously. Okay.
And yeah.
So Alpha Wolf, Dragon Bane got votes. Daiki Odoshima, I voted for in 30th. I could not put him on there somehow. Because
I thought about it, but yeah.
Galeno Del Mar got a vote. It was not me. Junior Matsunaga also got votes.
Actually, now that I think about it, did Titus Alexander get any votes?
Ryuki Honda got votes. Yes, he did.
Okay. Because he's kind of a guy that, now that I think about it, I kind of forgot to vote for.
Yeah, but he hasn't done that much.
Yeah.
I feel like last year was the big thing. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of... I guess my only regret now is I probably should have put... I think maybe Rising Hayato up higher, a little higher, but I don't think that would have gotten him into the top 30 or anything.
No, probably not. I don't think he was particularly close, actually, to making it in. Wait, let me double check that. No, like, because there's like so many people that were like ahead of him. Like, if you look at like the little list that Griffin posted, like he wasn't really all that close to making it in. So I don't think like one person putting him higher would have made that much of a difference.
Highest ranking 17, and that's me.
Yeah, because I had him at 25, which,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I feel like, yes, the tag team is really good, but like I would still want to like see him basically like have more like great singles matches. So
yeah,
because I have to knock him a little bit for the fact that his like title, like singles title reign, was kind of just a bit meh. And until he can show me that like he can actually do that, and then I'm gonna also agree, then I'm probably gonna put him a lot higher than I did.
So that is that. And so we'll quickly move on, because Paul, you didn't get to see it, but we got to talk about this King DDT final. I hadn't watched any of the tournament up to this point, but I did watch this show. And okay, so the first semifinal was Kazuchika Sada Higuchi versus Yuki Ano, which was a great match. 12 minutes 10 seconds, Higuchi won with the brain cost slam. They've had great matches before. This was like a condensed version of that, so it was very good. Cannon versus Hideki Okatani was the other semi-main event, and I've fallen off on DDT a bit, so I hadn't seen any of this Okatani heel run. Paul, let me tell you, Okatani now looks like he's left high school and is a sophomore at university.
So he like grew his hair out and got like an acoustic
guitar? Yeah, he looks a little older and less awkward. And actually, this works for him. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, it's quite good. Yeah. This was, it was fine. It was decent. Had some Daisuke Sasaki interference, of course, and everything like that. But that was just to set up the final. Kazusada Higuchi defeated Cannon in 1909 with a brain cross slam, and this match was awesome. I think it might be in my top 10 of the year so far, and it's just them killing each other with lariats and chops and slaps, you know. And Cannon, who seems to be a bit divisive, I always liked him, I always thought he had potential, but he's turned face now, which is why the storyline was Okatani was like, they're trying to go after their former Damnation TA stablemate, and Okatani replaced Cannon in Damnation TA. And yeah, I mean, this is just an old school battle. And I made this joke that, why is it left to DDT, the only company in Japan, having matches like this?
Yeah. I you know what? Actually, I mean, I didn't watch the match, but I mean, just based on like, again, like obviously knowing Higuchi, and since we're going to talk about him later, I feel like Higuchi is what Jun Saito pretends he is.
Yes.
You know, like it's like he, because they're both like former sumo guys and they have kind of like similar looks as well. And yeah. I just feel like Higuchi is like this like absolute killer. And like Jun Saito is like a guy that like, I think, wants to pretend he's an absolute killer, but just kind of isn't at that level.
Right. For sure. And of course, we're going to get a Gucci versus Brooks match coming up. I can't remember the date on that, but I'm going to watch that for sure.
I mean, those are always great, yeah.
Yeah, they've had some great matches in the past. So hopefully, I don't know, it feels like they got to pull the trigger on Higuchi again, right? Or
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they probably would have anyway if he didn't get injured.
Yeah, so watch for that. That will probably bring me back into DDT.
Yeah, I mean, Death Brooks' reign has been like longer than I thought it was going to. Because he's held that, like, how long has he held that belt?
It's been a bit. I'm not surprised given sort of the way that he's entrenched himself in the company, right? He is, you know, he's basically, you know, a top one of the top baby faces in the company.
Yeah.
He's had it for 214 days. This is second reign.
Okay, that's less long. I thought he had it for way longer, but yeah, I feel like, yeah, you want to put that title on.
Well, no, there was a Yuki Ueno and Shinya Aoki reigns.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, the Shinya Aoki reign. That was so fucking weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, they can end this one now. It's fine. He's established as the top guy. He's got two, you know, reigns of decent length with multiple defenses and everything. I'm just looking up at... I was looking at the results and I just saw that Brooks had defended against Shigehiro Irie, and Irie has basically disappeared from most promotions in Japan. I mean, his most recent match was in Sportiva.
Yeah.
Ganbare Pro and Tenru Project. He worked some Osaka Pro, but not regularly. Just was there on that light heavyweight tournament 2-day shows, which I still have to watch because I've heard it's good. He's worked a bit at DDT, but I mean, he's on Team Dara and VKF and like
the real low level promotions.
Yeah. And it's just like, what is going on?
Yeah. I was like, when he like left DDT, I was like, oh yeah, he's probably just gonna like go to like another big promotion, have like a big run there, and then just like he went to a bunch of different promotions, but I'd argue like in terms of like larger promotions, he kind of peaked at like Gaora TV Champion.
Yeah.
Like it's so weird that nobody is like, yeah, we're gonna like bring you in, and like maybe he doesn't want to do it. Like it's the only explanation I can come up.
Oh, here's one for you. In Brisbane, Australia, Matt Riddle defeats Shigehiro Irie to win the WSW Australian title.
Sure.
That was in March.
That's rough.
Yeah. He's not even doing that much Europe either right now. That was his last foreign excursion. Yeah, weird. I don't know.
Maybe he's getting like, how old is he?
He's older than I thought. I thought he was like 33. He's 37.
He's been around for a while. Yeah. But like that would still be like too early for him to like looking at retirement.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's still wrestling regularly. It's just on, he wrestled 24 matches in May.
Yeah, I mean, it's just for promotions nobody can watch because they...
Secret Base.
Or I guess you can watch, yeah.
You can watch Tenru Project.
On that weird whatever website, yeah.
Is it Nico Nico? Oh, Zyko.
No. Yeah, they have like a completely different one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Sendai Girls used to use before they ended up on Wrestle. So yeah, just thought about that. I was like, you know, and here's the thing: given what we're going to talk about, I mean, just him as a body in All Japan's mid card would be a big help.
Yeah, I think Noah he would do well as well.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have to watch it and see when he resurfaces. Okay, so let's go to Noah. I put the Monday Magics in the wrong order. I'm going to change that right now. So we'll start.
I was wondering about that. It's like, wait, why is episode 2 out of
this? We'll do the Monday Magics first, even though it's not exactly in chronological order, because Monday Magic is sort of in its canon. Yeah. So first one, they actually announced a attendance for this. It was at 412, which I think is Monday Night Mystery Card at Shinjuku Face. And we start off with Alpha Wolf versus Dragon Bane, which is a nice, good opener, 10-minute draw. Mm-hmm. So, you know, exactly what you think it was going to be. I mean, then you had Hayata, Saxon, Hux, and Manabu Soya defeating Shuji Ishikawa, Muhammad Yone, and Ada when Soya used the Dando on Yone to get the pin, and that was sort of teasing something that we will talk about in the next episode. Mm-hmm. Then go to Archie Cole defeated Daiki Odeshima in 922 with the Swanton Bomb. The real question is here, Paul, is Archie Cole just another jag like LJ Cleary?
I think he is super young, isn't he? Like, I think he's like 18.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I mean, he does look young, yes.
Yeah, like, because if I remember correctly, he's like a guy that Nosawa basically picked up out of like a training school, essentially.
He's not on Cage Match.
Yeah. I feel like if, you know, like for like an 18-year-old
who basically he's 18,
hasn't really had. Yeah.
18 from Portsmouth. Okay.
Which one?
Archie Cole.
Oh, no, Portsmouth, no, which Portsmouth?
Okay. UK.
I mean, yeah, I feel like for like an 18-year-old, right? Like, I think he did really well in this match. Like,
okay,
I was kind
so
of impressed by him.
I thought he was just some like random, like, UK guy, right? But I didn't know he was this fresh. Okay. So I'll be a little more generous. And I don't even, I mean, our LJ Cleary is a Jag, but he, but he did not like, okay. Now that I have, I'm like, okay, well, maybe for an 18-year-old guy that just got this first, okay, he did acquit himself very well.
Yeah. That's the thing. I was like, I mean, that's a bit harsh for like an 18-year-old who that's probably like,
I'm like,
he has like a handful of matches.
Okay.
To declare him a Jag.
Okay, so actually, he's worth someone worth bringing back and investing in that, I must say.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'd put this kid in the dojo, to be honest, if he wants to do that.
Yeah, definitely. He could really have potential then.
Yeah, because New Japan has, like, reaped a lot of, like, benefits from, like, starting to put, like, foreigners into the dojo.
Oh, they've long had foreigners in the dojo more than the other companies have ever have.
Yeah. I mean, I think I know the answer why the other companies aren't doing it, but like, it's still kind of weird that none of the others are doing it.
Well, Akira, Francesco Akira was in the All Japan dojo.
True, yeah. But that's like the only one I can think of, really.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie Edwards was in Noah's.
Was he an actual dojo kid, though?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they did later put the title on him, yeah. But again, like, I think, like, if you make that a more frequent thing, I think it could only like benefit you because you just have more people. Like, it's an easy way to put more people in there, right? That also want to do it.
So next match, three-way match. Amasaka defeated Johan Alejandro in 6 minutes and 31 seconds with the Kaikoku pinning Alejandro from Amasaka. You know, I don't even remember much about this match. It was pretty...
No. Like, the only thing that was weird, but I guess it's because like Monday Magic is in its own like canon basically is like, so you're putting like the champion in a three-way and he's not involved in the finish at all, and like his next challenger isn't involved in this at all either. Like, that was just kind of weird, but it's Monday Magic, so I guess explains it.
So next up, Mayu Iwatani and Koki Amore defeated Sadie Gibbs and Great Sakuya in 9-12 with the dragon suplex hold from Iwatani on Gibbs. I think this was pretty decent, even though Koki is not very good. But I did appreciate a very sloppy somersault sent in from Iwatani to the outside that busted open Sadie Gibbs.
Yes.
Which is the highlight of the match.
Yeah.
And, I will also give Sakuya some credit. I think she has found a much better balance than the early state, which I thought was quite rough.
Yeah. Even though, no, she definitely has adjusted.
Even though Riko Kawahata is a great wrestler, just the gimmick was
yeah, that's still like, that's still the reason why I still don't like it, where it's like, okay, like, she is better at it now, but like, she would be even better if she didn't have to like do all of this gimmick shit.
Yeah.
So yeah,
so next up, Naomichi Marufuji defeated Hikaru Sato in 1301 with the Brainbuster Cutback Cradle. I enjoyed this was a good match. In fact, maybe one of Marufuji's best singles. I'm not going to say this is like a 4-star match or anything, but this might have been better than Marufuji versus Kaito.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, I don't think it's even close.
But
that match was just really boring. This one, they just beat the shit out of each other.
Although Sato's chops look horrible.
Yeah, but his chest looked horrible too after the match.
Yeah, his chest looked horrible after the match. And let's talk about Hikaru Sato for a second. I noticed this a while ago, but he was slowly dialing back the amount of All Japan shows that he was on. And now I think he's only scheduled for Baka no Jidai versus Hokuto Gun Shinkiba show. We'll preview it later. I think it's on like June 24th or something. But he doesn't have any other All Japan dates this month.
Yeah. I mean, now he was always a freelancer. Noah show.
Yeah. But I think he's going to be freelancing.
He's probably. I mean, it was a really long like run. So I did notice that as well. I mean, my thing was always, well, he's still in a faction, so it would be weird for him to just disappear completely.
Yeah.
But just also given like the change in regime in the company, I don't think it's that surprising really either. Because obviously he was always like a Suwama guy.
Well, he doesn't work Evolution though.
True.
Or at least regularly. I think he might have been and everything like that. But you know, it's interesting because, well, you know, he did not come out to make the first challenge to the new junior champion, like standard Sato playbook and everything.
Yeah, it seems like Dan has assumed that role now.
Yes, Dan Tamer has assumed that role now. So we'll see, but that's just something to watch out for. But again, if you're losing someone like Sato, or going to have someone like Sato around a lot less, you got to find another body for.
Yeah, I mean, could this also be like a cost cut, like a little bit of a cost cutting measure as well?
You never know. Could be.
Because I mean, it's like he was a freelancer, but like he's been there for a while. That I assume his rate was probably like, maybe it was just a case of like, okay, like the rate that you actually want to like work in this company after so many years is maybe like not worth it for them anymore.
Yeah. And then to the main event, Kaito Kiyomiya and Titus Alexander defeated Minoru Suzuki and Ryan Clancy with the Skywalk album from Kiyomiya and Clancy in 1301. Well, first of all, Ryan Clancy looks like he is going to stretch you at a fair in Bristol in 1953.
Yes, he also looked so visibly nervous as well.
I like him though.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think he has potential. I haven't, like, I actually looked him up and I was like, oh, like, I think he's a guy I just always missed where he was on shows that I wasn't at.
Right.
He's done a bunch of shots for like WXW and he's been basically on shows where I was like, I think he was there for like Karat weekend, like last year, which I attended, but he wasn't on any of the shows I attended. Like, he was at the shows that I skipped. So he was like a guy that I just like always missed. I was like, oh, wait, he worked here and he worked here and here. And I was like, ah, why haven't I really seen him before? And yeah, no, but I did like him as well. I think he has a decent look as well. Again, seemed very visibly nervous, but I think he did kind of hold up his end of the bargain in the match. Like, he didn't look out of place.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, again, but it looks like there is like a thing where they're bringing in like a bunch of like new foreigners specifically for Monday Magic, right?
Yeah, which is sort of the way that they do things. So we go to the second show here, and they didn't announce an attendance for this.
It looked noticeably empty, I have to say.
Yeah. So we start with three-way with Junta Miyawaki defeating Hayata and Kai Fujimura in 7:24 with the Sunshine Schoolboy on Fujimura. Again, these just are like 7-8 minute three-ways that just go by.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about this.
This next match is Akira and Danny Duggan defeating Masa Kitami and Deki Odoshima in 14:15 with a tombstone pile driver from Duggan on Odoshima. And Kitamiya was out here in just old some classic trunks to Odoshima. And okay, so this was a little confusing. First of all, there's two Danny Duggins. There is a Danny
Duggan
that used to team with Kenny Omega.
Okay.
This is not him. This is a much younger guy from the Britain.
Yes. And this was his first match in 2 years.
Really?
Yep. So because I got confused because I looked him up and I was like, he was like a indie guy for like a while and he hasn't wrestled since 2023. This was his first, like, unless he only worked promotions that were like below cage match level.
I mean, that's not impossible in the UK.
I don't know, because UK is actually one of those countries where people are aware of cage match, so it's actually a lot of it gets covered by the fact that people actually send the promoters will actually send the results to cage match.
I think you're right, because on his like Twitter there's a lot of there's very few tweets in like 20.
Because he was like a guy that actually worked like Progress for a bit and everything. And then he kind of disappeared.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, yeah, he hasn't wrestled in like since like May of 2023. So I don't know. Maybe he was injured. Maybe he retired and then randomly got a call from Nosawa, I guess. Like, it's weird.
Yeah. I thought he looked pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that's the other thing where like for a guy that apparently hasn't wrestled in 2 years, he didn't seem to have any ring rust at all.
Okay, there's a picture on his Instagram from March of 2023, and he appears to be in some catch-as-catch-can club in Japan, because you've got Ryon Fujiwara, remember him?
Yep.
In the picture, and Shibata.
Oh, so maybe he just moved to Japan but didn't wrestle, and now he got a call?
Yeah, I don't know if he's been in Japan that whole
time. I mean, but it's weird, right? Like, that the guy doesn't wrestle for 2 years, and then his first match back is in Shinjuku Phase for Noah.
Yeah.
And it's not like he was, like, a big name beforehand. Also, I looked at his, like, matches in, like, Progress, and it's kind of a who's who of, like, cancelled guys that he lost to. Like, he lost the, like, Natural Progression Series final to Scotty Davis. And then after that, he was in the Progress Proteus like Rumble match, which was fallen by Paul Robinson. And then he lost to David Starr. like 2019 Progress stuff right there.
That's funny. Okay. So yeah. Well, I give him another shot. I thought he looked good, and that was a nice little match, actually.
Yeah. Like he looked good. Like he looked in good shape and everything, and he looked motivated. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. So next up was Dragon Bane, Titus Alexander, and Archie Cole defeating Alpha Wolf, Robert Martyr, and Saxon Huxley. One of these guys is not like the other. In 1506, yeah. With the Twister Bane from Bane on Martyr. I'd actually never seen Robert Martyr before, although I'd heard his name many times. He's small.
Yeah, it's very small. Even by Noah's standards.
But he looked good, and this is a fun... And although a lot of this match was like, oh, Bane and Wolf finding themselves on the opposite of each other, but it was a good little debut for that for Martyr. So we'll see how many of these guys that they keep.
He's one of the Marvelous guys, right? Like he's again one of those guys Marvelous. Yeah,
right. That's what it makes sense. Do you think that all of these new foreigners are because there's going to be some turnover on some of other foreigners, like cough Jack Morris?
I didn't attend the show, but I watched it on stream. Morris was on a GWF show in Berlin on Sunday. He lost this match, a singles match. Wasn't even a push guy. It was to like maybe a guy they might want to push a little bit, but like it's literally like a guy at the beginning of his push, like lower to like mid card guy really.
Mm-hmm.
So not even really like a prominent guy. And he just lost like, not clean, but like still, I thought that was interesting. I know that Morris hasn't been among like the names that have been leaked as having been signed by WWE, but I would not be shocked if like maybe he just wasn't on the list. Like I would not be shocked if he's on his way there. It just kind of feels like that.
Yeah, it does. Although that could be helpful because they could do something like a loser leaves town match. With him in Ozawa or something like that.
Yeah, where like he comes back and they like turn on him and then he just gets kicked out. Yeah. I guess it depends when he's actually like really properly leaving.
But it's a little different because Noah is a partner promotion. So maybe they
come back. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And then next up for the GHC women's title finally being defended again because they did not strip her because she was injured. Takumi Aroha defeated Koki Amore in 1340 with the running. Okay, so Koki is not very good, although I give credit to Aroha for trying to hold this thing together. So I didn't think this match was horrible or anything, but this is a much better choice to hold.
Yeah, that was such a weird choice as first champion as well. Like, okay, why her? And I was like, there's because so many.
She's a photogenic Marigold wrestler, and that was the relationship. But now Marvelous is with Wrestle Universe. And Marigold, because they're doing the Marvelous versus Marigold feud. So it does make sense all from that perspective now.
So, yeah. I mean, this is a much better champion. Like, this is like, okay, now I'm actually going to, like, look forward. Now I'm going to get mad if the belt doesn't get defended. Whereas before, and I was like, the belt doesn't get defended. Who cares?
And then, so next up, Kaito Kimi and Naoya Nomura defeat Uka Sasaki and Hikaru Sato in 1625 with the crab hold for Kiyomiya on Sato. Match of the show for me, no question.
Mm-hmm.
Nomura continues to show that he barely misses a beat despite barely wrestling.
Like his body is literally held together by tape. And yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's still great. Like someone made the point, it's like, this guy should get a push. And like, I can see it when you like see him have matches like this. But it's just like, I can't fault any promotion for just not being willing to like give him a push, right?
No.
Like,
And if he's had a falling out with All Japan or they don't want to touch him because of this, like Noah will keep him at arm's length, I think, for stuff like this. It's different if he's your own guy and he's got the injury bug.
Yeah.
It's completely different if he's like an outsider, despite his huge potential and talent, to go and bring someone in and then who's got his sort of injury record, right?
Yeah. If he's like your guy, you put him on like the undercard or whatever, and if you can be kind of sure that his body can hold up, then you can start pushing him again. Like, that's kind of what happened with, for example, like UT and Dragon Gate, where he kind of was like very injury prone for a while. But then he kind of showed that he like basically adopted like a wrestling style that would allow him to like not get injured as often. And then he actually started to get pushed like after like he showed that. Whereas like if he just like with Nomura, if he just kind of keeps like bouncing around like this, I don't know if he'll ever be able to like prove to somebody that like he won't get injured. And I also don't feel like he like is going to change his style. I think that's the other problem.
Yeah. So that's that, but I will expecting him to pop, keep popping up on these Monday Magics, at least for now.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see and if he actually pops up on like a main Noah show.
Well, there's the Wrestle Magic show.
Yeah, he's probably going to be on that one.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We actually got some reveals, like which promotions are going to be part of that.
Yeah. He would be a good tag team partner for Kaito though.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think Kaito definitely needs like a Yuma Aoyagi to his Kento, for like lack of a better term. He needs somebody. Like, he just doesn't, he's never really like, yeah, I guess he has a faction now, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Harutoki wouldn't be it. That's the thing. I don't think like evil or like the absentee national champion would be it either.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is he, by the way?
Who? Oh, Galeno.
Galeno. Yeah, the national champion.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. Well, it's the way they cycle foreigners in and out, right? Yeah, he'll be back. And I would be shocked if he's not back by July.
I mean, yeah, but like, it's like that makes sense. But like, not if he's like, he's like holds what is technically like the secondary belt, right? Like, I'm wondering if like his brother's like maybe trying to angle him into like WWE AAA or something.
Who knows?
Yeah. Like, it's just, but then again, he hasn't had any matches really. Like, he beat Saxon Huxley, and then he had one tag match at the end of May, and that's the only thing he's done. Yeah. It's not even like he's really wrestling in Mexico either.
No. Yeah, I wonder. He might not be long for Noah. We'll see. I mean, he drops that national title and everything like that. So, in the main event for the hardcore title, GAC hardcore title, Tsuji Ishikawa defeated Manabu Soi in 2006 with a giant slam. Yeah, it was okay. I mean, it was just these guys doing their thing and hitting each other with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Soi looking like he might get the win, but then Ishikawa finished him, had to whip out the giant slam to put him down for the three count and everything like that. But it was good. I just didn't think it was anything notable.
Yeah, I just don't like these like bloodless hardcore matches.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. There was no blood either.
Yeah, like that. That's why these are never good. Like, I don't think there would be much more like exciting with the blood, because I just don't think the matches themselves are structured all that well. But like the fact that there is no blood just like makes them just pointless. Like, why is it even a hardcore match? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. So also on that show, you mentioned that on the Wrestle Magic show, we're gonna have in the main event, right? You're gonna have wrestlers from DDT, New Japan, Noah, and Dragon Gate. Is that was the announcement, right? Yeah.
And so, there's one more promotion that wasn't revealed though, because there was one card that didn't get turned.
Oh, well, what do you think that is? Because I think I know.
Do you think it's WWE?
I think so, yeah.
Do you think New Japan would allow that, though?
I don't know. But why keep that hidden? What's a big surprise?
Yeah, I mean, All Japan wouldn't be a big surprise. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Unless it's a Tetsuya Naito.
Los Tranquilos de Japón?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it gets revealed as Los Tranquilos de Japón. Because, again, it seemed like the split between him and New Japan was pretty amicable, so I don't think they would have an issue with him being in a match. Less of an issue with him being there than they would with like a WWE wrestler being in there.
My understanding though is he's not going to be, if he's doing everything that people have said he's going to do medical wise with the eye and the stem cells, he's not going to be ready by then.
Yeah, that is a bit too quick of a. What if it's Bushi?
Oh God!
Like, they reveal, I thought Trunkiers they have fun, and then it's Bushi instead of Naito.
That would be. We'll see about that. So the next show quickly from Noah. They had a show on May 31st at Shinjuku Face in front of 381 fans. The only match on the show I watched were the elimination match, where Ozawa, Daga, Tadasuke, and Owada-san defeated Takashi Sugira, Tetsuya Endo, Dragon Bane, and Alpha Wolf in 1705. I mean, it was perfectly fine, but I don't know. I just wish they would go back to these epic elimination matches.
Yeah.
Because that's not what this was. I mean, you know,
no.
To build up for the three-way a bit, but it wasn't anything. It was not New Japan versus UWF.
No, it definitely was not.
And then in the main event for the GHC Tag Team title, Kenno and Uka Sasaki defeated Manabu Soy and Saxon Huxley in 2048 with a referee stop. Sasaki beat Huxley with the modified Dojimi sleeper hold to make their first defense. It was decent, actually, I thought. They covered Huxley well. I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. But there was a tag title match that I thought was a lot better than.
Yes, absolutely. That was a decent first defense for what is surely going to be a lengthy title reign. More on that later.
So then we jump to, 381 on a Saturday or a Sunday at Shinjuku. The 31st.
Oh, the 31st. Yeah. Yeah. No, that is not great. Yeah.
That was a Saturday. And then we get to the 3rd at Corken Hall for Star Navigation. And that's only 1,233 fans. Paul, what do you think?
It is.
I know it's.
It's a Tuesday.
I know, but.
Given that they've been selling these out, like, with like over capacity. Yeah. I don't know. To me, it's an indictment of the fact that like people don't want to see freeways for title.
No.
They never draw in Japan because people don't like them because they suck.
So we start off with Masa Kitamiya, Amasaka, and Shuhei Taniguchi defeating Ada, Shuji Kondo, and Black Mensurei in 657 with the Kaikoku from Amasaka on Mensurei. Nice, simple little opener. Mm-hmm. Saxon Huxley and Hayata and Yuto Kikuchi defeated Kenta, Super Crazy, and Daiki Odashima at 920 with the neck-hanging bomb from Huxley on Crazy. Not much to say about this, except Kenta feels kind of cold now.
Yeah, that was like they were doing like a bunch of like weird stuff with him about like Oolong Tae as well, which luckily didn't make its way here because I know they did that for like the spot shows. Yeah. Where apparently like some crazy fan spat like Oolong Tae at him.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. Like it definitely feels like he cooled off in a match. I thought they would keep him like in a semi like strong position, but it seems like they just immediately moved him like way down the card.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't want to do any.
That might legitimately be the thing. That might also be the reason why Ozawa won, where like Kenta, where they were like, okay, we're going to put the title in Yatsuma Hall. And Kenta was like, nah, fuck that. I don't want to be champion.
Yeah. Who knows? Well, we'll see. You should at least keep him hot until the 25th anniversary celebrations are over. I don't know.
Or, you know, the N1.
Yes, also that. So three-way match. Naomichi Marufuji, Dragon Bane, and Alpha Wolf defeated Kaito Kimiya, Alejandro Kai Fujimura, and then also Daga, Tadasuke, and Iwata-san in 8:23. When Iwata-san was disqualified, it was a whole lot of nothing.
I guess you can be disqualified in a three-way.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, why did Kaito and Alejandro and Kai Fujimura also lose, right? It doesn't make any sense. They weren't involved in that at all.
This Noah booking, man. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
It is incredible how quickly that turn went south. At Sushi Kotoge debut 20th anniversary match, at Sushi Kotoge defeated Super Delphin in 9:53 with the kill switch. I enjoyed this. And I got to say, Super Delphin, not bad still.
Yeah, that was my exact take as well. It was like, that man is 57 years old. Like, yeah. He looked like one step short, but like really, like if at 57 you only look one step short, that's really impressive.
I mean, he was never the most spectacular of the juniors, but
yeah, that too.
but he's still solid at his age, despite the fact that he's wrestled a lot of matches between the Osaka Pro and the Okinawa Pro years.
And somehow this was his first match in Noah.
Wow.
Like I would have thought he would have at least done like, I don't know, like I know he never had like a run there, obviously, but like I thought he would have had at least been on like some show at some point, like randomly teaming with somebody or whatever. But no, maybe this was his like very first match.
Maybe because his company raided all of his good wrestlers at one.
That might be. Because you can bring him back in for like a bunch of people's like anniversary in this promotion.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's Yohei's 20th anniversary, also featuring Super Delphin.
And for the GHC tag title match, Manabu Soy and Daiki Inaba defeated Kenno and Oka Sasaki in 13:47 with the extreme passion hold from Inaba on Kenno, which is basically to win the title. And the champions fall on their V2. This is a great match.
I will say that might be my favorite match across like all of these shows that we're like reviewing.
It might be, actually. Yeah, now that I think about it, I didn't even. Yeah, this and Marufuji versus Sato.
And Sato, yeah, those are the two great matches.
I mean, it was just them kicking everybody kicking ass basically for like, you know, less than 15 minutes quick. But I don't know this booking. I don't know how I feel about this booking.
No, I was like, oh yeah, Kenno and Olga are going to like be at the top of the tag division for like 6 months or whatever. That's the feeling that I got where it's like, oh yeah, they're going to give them this really long reign to really like establish Olga Sasaki.
But this also feels like not... Soyin and Abba is a team that could also like lose very quickly
to Team 2000X
or someone.
It's gonna like, let's be real, it's they're gonna lose it to like Segura, spoiler, and somebody he's going to team with.
Yeah, well,
but I mean, I thought the match was great. Like Daiki Naba is such a great like underdog baby face.
Yeah,
like he just got his ass beat. And actually, the more I think about it, what this one of the reasons I think they might have like flipped the titles here as well is because obviously Naba is not gonna challenge, and Soya just, I think, is done for now as a singles worker. I think this might have also been done to like free up Kenno and like Olga to like challenge Ozawa.
That's very possible.
Because English commentary brought that up, that Olga was like, yeah, my goal is the GHC title.
But let's think about this whole storyline of Inaba challenging for the tag titles, because...
it's very stupid.
It's very stupid. And Soya also lost the tag title, previous tag title challenge match, and a singles title challenge a couple days before. And he gets another...
Yep. And Inaba just gets his ass beat. Like, at first, he gets completely no-sold by Passionate Retails, like, made out like a complete geek. Then eventually, they take pity on him, take him in. Then he gets his ass beat in a six-man tag, challenges for the tag titles, gets laughed off, gets the match anyway, and then wins. Like, what? Like, great match, but, like, how we got there made absolutely no fucking sense.
Yep. Well... it is what it is. But hopefully this is a sign of the quality of matches we're going to get from this reign, even if the booking is inexplicable.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I mean, especially when we started off the podcast, right? I feel like the Noah, like, I think we beat that drum that like the Noah heavyweight tag title division. It was like, I think at the time, one of the most underrated ones.
Yes.
Because nobody really talked about it, but it kept like churning out banger after banger. And like, I feel like they've gotten away from that. Yeah, exactly. Inaba was a key part of that. So, but they got away from that a little bit. So I hope maybe that now they're kind of like trying to like get back to that.
Yeah. So next up, semi-main event, GHC Junior Heavyweight Championship. Yohei defeated Junta Miyawaki in 13:33 with the Super Gaman G. Now, this match had a lot of heat, especially during the closing stretch, which is a good sign. But I don't know. We think maybe we got a little too ahead of ourselves with the, it's finally Junta's time.
Yeah. I feel like he's still, I think I would still kind of, if I would put money on it, I would still say he's going to win the title at the New Year's show. But yeah, this match, I will say I liked the second half of the match, but I thought the first half was real boring because... Yeah. Like, basically, it had this lengthy Yohei control. Like, I think Yohei, like, if you want to do Yohei versus Junta, it just needs to be, like, a crazy spot fest, basically. And what they tried to do was, like, have this lengthy Yohei control period with Junta selling, which Junta's good at. But Yohei is not, like they're too similar in that way. They're both really good underdog baby faces. So if one of them has to have a lengthy control period, it just doesn't work because they're not good at that. So, I did not like the first half of this match. I was just really bored. I was just like,
Good hot closing stretch, but that was about it.
Yeah.
And then Kotoga came to challenge.
Which, you think Kotoga's winning? Because he got like the mask and everything. Right?
Yeah, I feel like he should be.
And again, Yohei is a chaser, not like, you know, a long-term champion.
Yeah, this is his gold watch ring.
Yeah.
Just to say that I've done it and everything like that.
And honestly, like, he got two defenses in.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's a good reign, yeah? That's fine. You don't really need to drag it out more than that.
No, I agree. And then, GHC Heavyweight Championship Survival 3-Way match. Ozawa defeated Takashi Sugiura and Tetsuya Endo in 24-38 to make his sixth defense. Wow. And then Endo defeated Sugiura with a horizontal cradle in 15-20. And then Ozawa pinned Endo with the Real Rebel in 24-38. So... everyone's talking about what happened in this match because guess what? Segura turned and joined Team 2000X and then got promptly rolled up.
Yeah. You know, in the vein of this meeting could have been an email. Like, this freeway could have been a singles match. Like, what's the reason this had to be a freeway? Like, right, it changes absolutely nothing if Segura is just accompanying Endo to ringside and then turns on him in the match. Like, it actually makes more sense because then you don't have Segura working over Ozawa for like 15 minutes and then turning on Endo, which makes less sense. Like, why are you attacking the guy that you're going to join like in 15 minutes anyway? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, like I get maybe if you wanted to like protect, like not have like a singles match yet between Ozawa and Endo, but I feel like you have the out right there with Segura turning on Endo. So Endo doesn't really lose anything if he gets beaten here by Ozawa in a singles match, right? It's really like there's just no reason for this to have been a freeway. Like, that's just, does this make any sense to you?
No. And as far as the match itself, well, I mean, the last couple of minutes between Endo and Ozawa were pretty good, but that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, Japanese wrestlers also aren't very good at freeways because they don't really do them. So,
no. Unless it's
just really awkward.
Fest is your best bet, I think, right?
Yeah. Whereas in this case, well, to be fair, there was that one freeway like years ago between, I think it was Oiwa, Kitamiya, and I think, was it actually Segura as well? Or was, who was it? Who was the third one? I don't remember. You know, where they just beat the shit out of each other?
Right.
That was pretty good. But that's not what this was. This was basically Endo and, like, early on, Endo and Segura team up on Ozawa and basically almost turn him into a baby face because it's just these two guys just beating him up all the time and teaming up on him until Segura just decides, I guess I flip my evil switch now and turns on Endo, like 15 minutes in.
Yeah, it's just inexplicable booking. Probably should have seen it. I think we even joked about like the Suzuki gun comparison, which is real. But oh, and this match, of course, also did have interference. The ref got pulled up, pulled that at one point. I mean, Japan is stuck in like 1998 WCW. I don't know how it's and in this comparison, All Japan is Disco Inferno.
Who's Disco Inferno in this case?
All Japan.
I mean, okay, but I will say one thing. I don't think I actually really mind. Like, the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, I don't think I actually really mind Segura in Team 2000X. Like,
so what's? I just think they did it in such a horrible way.
Yes, no. The turn itself was dog shit. But like, I think going forward, it might not be the worst thing to kind of just have like, you know, like, because it's a bunch of sleeve balls, and this gives them like an ass kicker, which I think could help them too.
They don't really have an ass kicker.
Exactly. Like, they kind of had it a little bit when they had, what's his face? The tall guy from WWE.
Almost.
Yeah, when they had Almost, right? They had like a little bit of that guy that can like intimidate people.
Yeah.
But like, now they like just have like an ass kicker in there, like with Segura. So they, you know, like, I think that can work really well. Like, if you have like Ozawa kind of like hide behind like Segura basically, and then like whoever like win like finally takes the title of Ozawa also has to like overcome Segura as well. I think that can actually work. It's just like the way we got there was, again, similar to the tag title match, just completely nonsensical.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens because we're going into the next couple of months of big shows, right? So the next big thing for Noah is on the 21st in Osaka, Edion number 2. The main event of that show is a special 25th anniversary special tag match. Kenno and Kaito Kiyomiya versus Naomichi Marufuji and Kenta.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of pinned in this.
I mean, generally I would say yes, but you know what? Who I actually think is getting pinned? I think Kenta is getting pinned.
Okay. For the GHC Junior Heavyweight Championship, it's Kotoge versus Yohei. Now we're in Osaka, so Kotoge is winning, right?
Yeah. I think it's time for like another Kotoge reign. Like, it's been like, how long has it been since he's held this belt? Yeah.
It has been a while. We've got a Kazuyuki Fujita versus Masa Kitamiya match, so we can imagine how that's going to go. But
yeah,
it's a nice
tag. And I know who's getting pinned in that one.
Yeah. We've got a 10-man tag. Ozawa, Sugira, Daga, Tadasuke, and Owada-san. Still no Jack Morris. Versus Manabu Soya, Daiki Inaba, Saxon Huxley, Hayata, and Yuto Kikuchi. Okay.
Yeah, so we're going to get a I assume we're going to get like a tag title challenge out of that one.
We got Daiki Yoshima versus Will Cruz.
Or is that how you say that one?
Is it? Isn't it?
Well, the thing is, okay, he is English, so it's probably pronounced. So no, because the thing that trips me up is because obviously there is a German football legend. Wait, why am I blanking on his first name? Jesus Christ. Toni Kroos, obviously. Literally from my hometown, actually.
Oh, okay.
I actually know somebody that went to school with him. But like in German, it would be pronounced Kroos. But obviously this guy is English, so I guess it would be more Kroos.
Probably. So I have seen, he was on those Noah shows in the UK, and he's like 6'3", 270, 270
Yeah, he's
pounds.
A big guy.
I thought he was actually pretty good. So I am looking for that, right?
Yeah, no, I do think he could do well. I think, I mean, but what if he's the guy that like becomes like the heavy, like what if he becomes like Segura's tag partner?
I don't know. And then we've got Tetsuya Endo, Dragon Bane, and Alpha Wolf versus Harutoki, Alejandro, and Kai Fujimura. That could be good.
But that's Taki. Probably going to get changed because Dragon Bane, I don't think Dragon Bane will make that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And then we got Uko Sasaki, Amasaka, and Junta Miyawaki versus Ada, Hajime Ohara, and Super Crazy. So he's back for, you know. And that's really the only sort of major show. The rest are just spot shows, and they don't even all have their attendances. And then Monday Magic. So, Paul, how are you feeling about the direction of Pro Wrestling Noah right now?
I mean, the booking is kind of bad.
Oh,
I mean, well, not bad, but it's kind of nonsensical. I do think the match quality is still there. Like, I will have to say that this might be, again, controversial. I will say that currently I am enjoying Noah more than I'm enjoying All Japan. Like, wonky booking aside.
I guess I would give him the slight edge, but I really don't like this booking, even if All Japan is incredibly dry.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like Noah has a lot more energy right now. Like that's why I'm enjoying it. But yeah, the booking, as always with Noah, is a concern.
So we go to All Japan Pro Wrestling, the Superpower Series in Sendai Sun Plaza Hall in front of 2,239 fans. This is their best attendance in Sendai Sun Plaza. I don't know if it's ever, but probably since the Noah split, actually. I got to say, though, I was thinking, looking at those ticket sales, a lot of sections sold out, a lot of sections, only a few tickets left. I don't know how many they made available. Do you think this is a big success? I thought they were going to do more. Not lying. And I feel like I probably should not. I should just give them. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a thing. Like, because it's also, I think I looked it up. I think it's like the biggest attendance in Sendai since, I think, 2018 as well. Like across all promotions, which is... when I think, like in Sendai Sun Plaza.
Yeah.
Because I think like the last one that drew more than this was when like New Japan packed like 3,000 people in there in like 2018. But that's still kind of, you know, peak New Japan basically.
Yes.
So I like, again, I also can kind of see it where like I also kind of expect a little bit more than this, but like it's such a big number that it's just hard to classify it as a disappointment, right?
Yes. I mean, it, whenever All Japan goes above 2,000, that is an accomplishment for them. That's a big accomplishment.
Yeah, exactly. But then again, they did kind of, you know, build this up for like 6 months.
Yeah. So, I mean...
And it's in their hometown. So I don't think it's unreasonable to expect more. It's just that it's at the same time also like hard to classify it as a disappointment.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. That's a good way of putting it, I think. So we start off with the show, and this show did not start off well. Hideki Suzuki defeated just Tanahashi now in 11:48 with the Lake of Retribution. Not even Hideki, company man Hideki, could save this.
Whoever has put it in their head that we need these like lengthy Takashi like singles matches just really needs to reevaluate their life choices.
Also, this was supposed to be Taishi Nagao, but he's injured, and I don't know how long he's.
Yeah, but still, yeah, like, again, have, I not learn from the CC.
He must have been injured in training.
Yeah, because I don't think he was injured in any match that I've seen.
Yeah, and he's not on any of these upcoming shit either. So hopefully he comes back soon. And then Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Kuroshio Tokyo Japan defeated Jack Kennedy and Aizawa, number one in 927, with the Bulldog Bomb from Smith and Aizawa, another woof, whatever.
I mean, that had to, like, that team just had to be a rip on somebody, right?
Yeah.
I don't know which one. Like, I don't know who. It might have been a rip on the crowd, on, like, the, like, people in attendance and people watching at home.
So, finally, the show picks up because we got Atsuki, Aoyagi, Fuminori, Abe, and Sego Tachibana defeating Musashi, Rising Hayato, and Ryu Inoue in 12:26 with the Firebird Splash from Aoyagi on Inoue. And this might have been the best match. Maybe. One of the best matches of the show, though.
Yes, I will say that. I don't think it's the best match. I think that I would put the tag title match slightly ahead of it. But yeah, this was definitely up there.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Then Alpina versus Hokuto Army. Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, and XXL surprise Talos.
Yuma Enzai, as we all expected.
Yeah, Yuma Enzai, Ryuki Honda, and Ren Ayabe in 15:24 with a choke slam from Talos on Ayabe, which I gotta say it was a fair. That was I would say for him to pin Ayabe.
Yeah,
Ayabe doesn't do that many jobs. If you really
no, he's pretty protected
in singles matches. Yeah, in tag matches anyway. So Talos is NWA or was NWA.
Mm-hmm.
He is in his, I think he's like 33, 34, but he only started wrestling in like 2020 when he was in the WWE Performance Center, and he was released in 2022. He's been, I think, a U.S. Tag Team Champion in the NWA. He is listed at 7 feet, but he's only slightly taller than Ren Ayabe. And I looked it up. He's actually 6'9".
I mean, it's still freakishly tall.
He was. Yeah.
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 What? A wrestling promotion lying up to make somebody 7 foot? No, never.
So here's the thing. He's got two reviews on Cage Match, and they're both very positive, but they're also from people that watch NWA.
Yeah, that's great. Not...
they're also more about like the storylines he's involved in than his actual skill. But I'll say this.
Cool.
They didn't let him do that much.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He didn't get tagged in until very late. So I can't make a judgment either way. But he's not clumsy. He's not like one of the tall clumsy.
Yeah.
Nice looking big boot.
Yes. I mean, that's...
That
no, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. I have a different take on this whole thing.
Okay. So anyway, he's going to be coming back and we'll talk about more of that later. But the match was fine, but it probably just went too long. What do you
think? Yeah, I do think it went too long as well. My thinking when I saw Talos and especially like the way he acted in the match and like especially his big boot, I was like, oh, this is like some prime like mid to late 2000s, like All Japan, like foreigner stuff. Yeah. Like, this is like basically what I was thinking. Okay, which given what Noah has done, you know, like what All Japan needs to do here is like do like RON-D 2000X or something like that. Because this, like, that's exactly where he would have been if he had come in at that time.
Absolutely. Basically. Absolutely. Voodoo Murders. And
yeah. So, like, I would definitely bring him back to see if there's like literally anything there.
Well, he's coming back, so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I guess he is technically already in a faction, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's also, like, the fact that he's 33. I'm like, we'll see if there's, like, literally any move, like, space for him to move. But again, with tall guys, you know? Like, with tall guys like that, sometimes it's just a switch.
To be fair, he doesn't have that many miles on his body.
Yeah, so he could probably go for a bit longer. And again, with tall guys, right, like, they look kind of awkward and then you just flip a switch and then they're great. So like maybe he just needs to figure out that like, oh yeah, no, I can just beat Ryuki Honda up and people are going to cheer for me.
Yeah. So we'll see. I got to assume he's a replacement for Cyrus.
Yeah. Seems like we might be done with Cyrus, I guess.
Well, we don't even know what the extent of his injury is or anything like that. Right.
I mean, I thought it was just, he was like, wasn't he sick and not injured?
Well, he was sick. I don't know. Maybe they just didn't like the fact that he straight up missed.
Yeah.
Oh, he's medically cleared.
Well, yeah. So this might've been a thing where they're like, we're going to move on from you.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I thought Cyrus had gotten a lot better.
Relatively. Yeah. But there was also like a very clear ceiling there with him.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Right.
Yeah. So let's see what this guy can do.
Yeah. And then PWF World Junior Heavyweight Championship. Seki Yoshioka defeated Dan Tammer in 15:37 with the buzzsaw kick to make his first defense. It was good, not great. I don't know. It just was sort of missing something. I did like the end where he just gave a million buzzsaw kicks and wouldn't go down. That was a nice touch. But otherwise, it wasn't particularly memorable, I thought.
No, I was really disappointed by this one. I was really looking forward to it, and it just kind of was really meandering. Like, it just really, like if, yeah, I don't know. It was just a bunch of stuff happened, and none of it was, like, there was intensity towards the end. But, yeah, it was weirdly low intensity, which is, like, weird for especially these two guys, where they just kind of did a normal wrestling match. It didn't really feel, there wasn't really any feel of urgency. Like, that it was a title match. It felt almost like it was just kind of a mid-card match on a spot show. And then they kind of turned it up towards the end, but it was just not enough to, like, elevate it above what it was, which was, as you said, good, but not great.
Yeah. So, and then semi-main event, World Tag Team Championship, Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi defeat Shitaro Shino and Zion in 21:52 with a shutdown German suplex hold on Zion, from Miyahara on Zion to make their first defense of the titles. I actually thought like the first half of this match was dreadfully boring. But then somehow they turned it up at the end and it actually turned into a nice little match.
Yeah. I mean, I will say it was probably the best match on the show though, which is a bit of a indictment.
It is. It is.
But at least it looks like they're keeping Shitaro Shino and Zion together. Right? Like it seems like this wasn't just a one-off because they actually gave them a name with Havoc. Havoc.
Yeah.
And Zion is booked on shows going forward as well. So definitely seems like, mean, again, it could have been better, but I would say at least like with Zion, I was like, okay, maybe I can see a little bit of something there.
Yeah, it's a little bit of something, I said. I mean, he's certainly gotten better than when he first showed up. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. I mean, I'm going to assume that this is going all the way to the Real World Tag League with these guys.
I could see them do well in that one. I could actually see them go to the finals.
Yeah. And then in the main event for the Triple Crown, Jun Saito defeated Rei Saito at 23:07 with the Dying Light to make his fourth defense. I mean, I didn't think this was horrible. I just didn't think it was like any good as a Triple Crown main event.
Yeah. I think that's ultimately what I've settled on.
Too long. Yeah. And what I just was thinking back to their match that they had at the Nakajima versus Miyahara show at Yoyogi. And that was like, I think, 17, 18 minutes. And they're just kicking the shit out of each other. They tried to actually wrestle like an epic main event style match. And I think that's where they fell short.
Yeah. Yeah. I think where I've settled is Jun has bad Triple Crown matches. They're not bad matches, but they're bad Triple Crown matches.
And yet somehow has better matches against the same opponents in the Champion Carnival.
Yes, exactly. That's the weird thing. Like, it's just his Triple Crown matches that are bad.
I think that they're expected to do a certain format in Triple Crown main events that is different than in a Champion Carnival match.
Yeah, and he just can't do that.
No. Hideki came out to challenge. And now I'm getting a little worried about their match, even though they had a great match in the Champion Carnival. Paul, this June Reigns got to end, though.
Oh, God, it's got to end so bad. I'm so done and with it now.
I don't think Hideki is going to beat it. Although I would
say
against Hideki Suzuki becoming the Triple Crown champion at this point.
I am Team Hideki. Like, let's go, Hideki. Like, sure. Please free us.
I mean, if Hideki wins, I don't think he's going to get a long reign.
No. But I feel like that might also explain why he's like, yeah, I'm willing to do a bunch of drops because you're going to put the Triple Crown on me later.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. But this show wasn't very good. It was just flat.
No. Yeah. The other weird thing. The main event got weirdly little from the crowd.
I got decent amount, but maybe not as much as you'd think considering who's involved in it.
Yeah. But compare that right to like the tag title match the Saitos had with Business Tag. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a molten hot crowd. And this was like, it's not that they were dead, but it's not nearly what you expected of like two hometown heroes, like main eventing the show. They were just there like that. Like, that's the other thing where I'm like, okay, we built this whole promotion around this specific match. And then it draws a good crowd, but maybe slightly below expectations. And the match quality is not great. And the crowd is also just kind of mediocre on it as well. So I'm just like, okay, let's just end this. Like, it's fine. Like, it drew some decent houses or whatever. But, like, it's just been dragging this promotion down so fucking much that, it just makes everything feel so, like, sluggish, really, in all Japan right now. But, yes, like, I think absolutely. Even putting it on Hideki would, like, putting it on Hideki ironically enough, would like inject actually like fresh energy into the promotion.
Yes, it would. It would. And fresh matches and good, much better matches, I think. So
yeah,
hopefully. I'm just not confident that's going to happen. I don't know where this June Seto reign's going to end because he's beaten everybody now.
See, that's why I think it's ending now, because it's like, well, where the fuck else are you going to go?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I hope. So their next show is on June 14th in Gifu. And we've got Shotaro Shino and Zion versus the returning Hiroki Murase, who you may remember as Udomaro, and Lothar, who's just some indie guy in a lucha mask.
Yeah.
I think he's done All Japan before. Then you got Dan Tamura versus Sego Tachibana. Ryo Inoue versus Fuminori Abe. Those are a couple of good matches.
Yeah, that should be good. Yeah.
All Japan Pro Wrestling TV 6-man tag team championship match. Hokuto Mori, Arashi, and Takashi versus Talos, Jack Kennedy, and Aizawa number one. I wouldn't have, I don't know, I could see them putting the 6-man titles on Talos, but not with Aizawa.
I mean, that's also the other weird thing, is like, that's just Hoktagon was Hoktagon.
Yeah, I don't know. This is an 8-man match that's almost a preliminary 8-man tag match. Or for All Asia tag match. So we got Rising Hado, Yuma Anzai, Honda, and Ren Ayabe. So Alpida versus Kento Miyahara, Atsuki Aoyagi, Musashi, and Davey Boy Smith combo. And then in the main event, it's Triple Crown and Junior title preliminary. So you got the Saitos and Doi, Naruki Doi versus Hideki Suzuki, Yuma Aoyagi, and Seki Yoshioka, which actually could be a good match.
Yeah.
And then
actually, do you think we're going to get like a Doi challenge out of that one?
No, he's already challenged.
Oh, yeah, right. He did already. I forgot he came out.
I forgot too. And then Dan. So this is on the 15th at Kyoto KBS Hall. Got Dan Tamer and Ryo Inoue versus Fuminori Abe and Sego Tachibana. Shotaro Shino and Zion versus Reiki Honda and Ren Ayabe. That's an interesting one. Let's see who that win.
Now we're going to see. I think we're going to see a rematch of that one in the Real World Tag League.
Yeah. Kenno Miyahara, Musashi, and Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Hokuto Omori, Arashi, and Talos. You can expect Musashi to be pinned by Talos, I think.
Yes.
For the Gaora TV title, you've got Yuka Miyamoto versus Takashi, and I'm afraid that Takashi's going to get Gaora TV title.
Yeah, I'm not super hot on the Yuka Miyamoto reign, but I'm even lower on like a Takashi reign.
Yeah.
And I'm scared because they gave him all of these lengthy singles matches, so that's exactly where we're going.
Yeah. Another Triple Crown and Junior title skirmish. We got June Seto, Rei Seto, and Doi versus Hideki Suzuki, Hikaru Sato, and Seki Yoshioka. And then in the main event, we've got Rising Hado and Yuma Anzai versus Yuma Aoyagi and Atsuki Aoyagi for the All Asia Tag titles. And I think that's going to be a banger. And honestly, Paul, I think it's time to get these titles off of Anzai and Hayato, because as I said in the comments, my blurb for Yuma Anzai in the 30 under 30, Anzai's biggest problem right now is that they're not pushing him enough. He should be pushed even more. You got to get him off the All Asia tag title, I think.
Like, that's the only way I'm like, okay, if Hideki loses to June, is if Anzai is the next challenger and he's the one that beats June.
Yeah. And then on Wednesday, June 18th at Cork Hall, we've got, so far announced, Seki Yoshioka versus Naruki Doi for the PWF World Junior Tag Team Championship. Or not tag team, junior champion, heavy championship. June Saito and Hideki Suzuki for the Triple Crown. Rei Saito, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Takuya Nomura, finally.
That was long overdue.
Versus Musashi, Davey Boy Smith Jr., and Shota Kafuji, which is a good sign. Getting that Korakuen call. I've been,
also, I just realized something with that booking.
Yeah.
Hideki's definitely winning.
Why?
Takuya is his first challenger.
Oh, you think so, eh?
Yeah, that's some real deep history. Moon World can never die.
We got some All Japan Main Army versus Baka no Jidai. Suwama making his obligatory monthly appearance. Shotaro Shino, Dan Tamura, Ryo Inoue, and Zion versus Hikaru Sato, Kengo Mashimo, Yuko Miyamoto, Fuminori Abe, and Sego Tachibana. Look, if they give him enough time, that could be really great.
That could be really good. It's a bit too far down the card, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. And then Alpida versus Hokuto Gun 8-man tag match. Rising Hayato, Yuma Anzai, Roki Honda, and Ren Ayabe versus Hokuto Omori, Arashi, Takashi, and Talos. And Paul, I saved the best for last. World Tag Team Championship, Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi versus Madoka Kakuta and Kai.
K Kai.
Yes.
He's back.
He's back.
And Paul for
Tom makeup with no Joker, with no Joker makeup.
Yeah, that should be really good, but that should be so fucking good though.
This should have been the main event of its own show.
Yes, actually. It should, definitely should have.
Because either some of these other really cool undercard matches are going to get like 5 minutes. Like, this match should have like 20 minutes at least.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, it should have main evented. Like you can main event. You can easily main event a Corrigan with this.
Yeah. Like, my thinking is you should, they're never going to do this, but like, Hideki versus Jun Saito should be like 18 minutes. the rest of the time to the tag title match.
I would like, okay, I get that it's a triple crown match, so you have to go longer. But like, I'm like, oh, you can do 12.
Yeah. All right.
Because I feel like there is like an upper limit with like June, like with rare exceptions where it's like once it goes past 15, it really like falls off.
So that's that. Hopefully, I mean, some of these this Corkin looks very good. I just hope that if they change the triple crown, we can get some momentum back.
Yeah.
You know,
I really hope so. Yeah. Like, I'm just done with this Jun Saito reign.
We have, yeah, it's we got like a, I don't know, I think there's a malaise in both companies for different reasons, but they got to do better in some.
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, I think All Japan needs to shake a few things up in the main event scene, but I don't, and I think they could do it, but the problem is Nosawa's not going to venture from whatever the hell he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, and he survived this long, and now he actually has like business success to point to as well. So he's not going to like leave anytime soon either.
Exactly. That's a problem. All right, Paul, any closing thoughts?
Nothing major, really. I think we kind of covered everything. I'm still a little bit, probably a little bit more bullish on Noah than you are, just because, I don't know. I think they've still got something building there. It's just, man, maybe a different booker would be a good idea, because he's also been there fucking forever too.
It's, yeah, 4 or 5 years now.
He was there. He was already there pre-pandemic.
Oh, was he already there because
he was a Lead Dead guy. Like, that's why actually was sure when they got bought that he would leave, because he was a Lead Dead executive, and he left Lead Dead to stay with Noah when they got bought.
Right, right, right. So yeah. I mean, that's a long enough reign. Lots of people should be cycled in and out, everything like that. So that's very true. Yeah. So that's that. We'll see. I mean, this is going to be an interesting summer, and some things are going to be like, Noah's got a whole tournament in September and some big shows coming up. So they really we'll get a better idea if this is going to continue like this or not. Anyway, so we will see you in a couple of weeks after these big shows, because I'm really going to want to talk about that All Japan Korakuen show. But in the meantime, enjoy all the wrestling out there.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Every other Monday, we're coming at you with news, show reviews, and previews of upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're just getting into the scene or you've seen it all, this is the show for you.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network and wherever you get your audio.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.